In our parable in today's gospel, it says that the debtor owed the king a huge amount. This is kind of a loose translation. The literal translation would be 10,000 talents. One talent was worth 6,000 days' wages. So that means that this servant owed 60 million days' wages to the king, which if he was working 6 days a week would be 192,000 years of labor. I thought 40 or 50 years was a lot of labor, but this servant owed a lot more than that. And the king forgives it all. And so you would think that this servant, knowing the amount that he was forgiven, would have just been filled with joy and overwhelmed by the mercy that this king had showed him, and that he would have been willing to show that to others. But as it turns out, he goes after a fellow servant who owes him a much smaller amount. The literal translation would be 100 days' wages. And he grabs his fellow servant, chokes him, and has him put in prison until he can pay back the 100 days' wages. And so rather than reflecting and showing others the mercy that he had received, he disregards that. He doesn't get the message from the king and ends up punished as a result. This parable might sound a little bit exaggerated given the amounts involved, but not when we recognize that this is an allegory for sin. Each of us in justice owes God a huge amount. We often have no real concept of how offensive sin is to God and what the real cost of sin is. You know, we might deliberately skip a Sunday Mass when the obligation is intact and not think much of it. Or we might take the Lord's name in vain and think, well, it's not that big of a deal. Or we might steal someone or gossip about someone or look at someone lustfully and think it's not that big of a deal. But even if we don't think that it's that big of a deal, we're sinning against a God who is infinitely good and infinitely holy. And so our sins, when we compare them to infinite goodness, and are infinite. And so each one of us owes our Heavenly Father a huge amount that we could never possibly repay. You know, we may not recognize the full consequences of how bad sin is, but we know what the punishment of sin is. And sin results in eternal punishment if that sin is not forgiven. And people might think that seems a little harsh or a little extreme. But it's just, and it's appropriate for what our actions are. We just don't recognize how bad that they really are. And God mercifully forgives the entire amount. And so it's important for us to internalize and recognize what the Lord has forgiven us. It's not a small thing that the Lord has forgiven us. It's not like, oh yeah, we should probably go to heaven anyway, and God's just opening the door for us. No. The Lord is forgiving us a huge amount. And we're called to internalize that and recognize what the Lord has done for us, and in turn, show that same mercy and forgiveness to our neighbors who sin against us. And when they sin against us, we are not infinite beings of holiness. The sins that other people commit against us are much smaller. Even if we feel like it's a big deal, and it might be, but not in comparison to what the Lord has forgiven us. And so our readings today call us to recognize what the Lord has forgiven us and to be willing to forgive others generously. To harbor no desire for revenge or no ill will to those who hurt us. To pray for those who persecute us and to overlook faults. You know, sometimes it's easier said than done, especially if someone has hurt us deeply or someone who maybe continues to hurt us again and again and again. But that's when we're called to look at what the Lord has done for us and to gain our strength from Him. Now, what this doesn't mean is that we ignore evil or downplay evil. We shouldn't allow people to abuse us or allow people to harm the innocent. You know, we have an obligation to stand up for those who are being victimized in justice. So we don't just ignore what happens. And we have to stand up for people and we have to act with justice. That's why we have a criminal justice system in our country. But that doesn't mean that we hate the perpetrator of the crimes. We might treat them with justice, but we don't hate them in our hearts. And it doesn't mean that we may not have negative feelings or emotions towards someone. There might be someone that we just get the feeling of disgust every time we see them because of what they've done to us. Or there might be someone who makes us, we feel anger every time we see them. But we aren't allowed to allow that to penetrate into our will and to hate that person or wish ill will. We're called to still treat that person with charity. And it doesn't mean that unjust people are not eventually going to be brought to justice. In the first reading from Sirach, it says, "The vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, and the Lord remembers their sins in detail." And so there will come a time for justice. But that's not our job to deal out the justice. We do not know what's in people's hearts. That's the Lord's job to be the judge, and it's not our job. Our job is not to be pronouncing judgment on other people. We leave that to the Lord. And we're called to be innocent and forgiving in our hearts. I think this message of mercy is an important message at a time where people are very angry and divided within our country. And people are angry and divided often within families because there are a lot of broken families that are in need of healing, a lot of divorces and a lot of pain that's resulted from that. And there's a lot of brokenness and a lot of anger within our country. You know, people often can't have discussions with someone who has a different point of view without starting to attack each other. And you see that at colleges and universities, and especially in the media. If people don't agree with something, they attack each other, and they label each other as racists or bigots or homophobic or white supremacists or whatever insult they want to hurl at people. And these ideological divisions are leading to hatred and violence. And we're seeing that in the streets of many of our cities now. And that's not Christian. And as Christians, we treat other people with dignity and with respect. And our society isn't going to survive if we can't dialogue with people and seek the authentic truth with mutual respect and without allowing hatred to come in. You know, we're called to hate nobody on social media. And we're called to hate no politician, even in an election year. You know, things are going to get a little heated. But we're not permitted. There's no exception for politicians. And the reality is there are politicians that promote evil like abortion. That's a terrible evil upon our nation. And we never give in to evil, and we should never compromise with it. And we should recognize the gravity of what this evil is. But we don't hate the individuals that are perpetrating that and advancing that agenda. We pray for their conversion. Because one day, they're going to stand before the throne of God and have to give an account for their stewardship, as we will. But that's not our job to be the judge. The people around us, all of the people around us have their imperfections. None of us are perfect. You know, this is not a perfect society. This is a fallen world. People have idiosyncrasies and habits that are going to annoy us. Sometimes people are going to do things against us accidentally, sometimes on purpose. But these individuals are not obstacles to our holiness. God puts them in our lives so that we can grow in holiness. Because God's love is shown in the reality that He died on the cross for us while we were still sinners. We were still evil. And He died for us. He loves the good and the bad alike. And so we're called to love the good and the bad alike. And when we do that, we share in the love of God. We begin to love like He does. And so the Lord allows imperfect people around us so that we can learn to love as He does. If everyone around us were perfect, then we wouldn't have the opportunity to love that way. And so by putting people around us that might commit evil or that are imperfect, He's calling us to a deeper love, to love the way He does. And so I encourage each one of us, as we're here at Mass today, to think of one person who might have hurt us, one person whom we might resent or we might have been harboring a grudge towards. Think of one individual and bring that person before the altar of God today. Pray that they might receive overflowing graces and allow the blood of Jesus Christ that's offered on this altar to shower down graces upon that individual. Pray for their conversion, for their growth in holiness. Pray for their salvation. And when we do that, we'll experience the joy and the serenity of heart that comes when we allow the mercy of God to reign within us.